Let's get our Bibles out, since we're talking about the Bible. I'm going to open up to Luke chapter 13. The title of this talk is Investment, and, well, I think it's an unfortunate term, investment, because the reason people invest is so they get a return. But turns out God has significantly invested in us. And we've been bought with a price, as it says in Corinthians, and it's a pretty big price. It was the death of his son, Jesus Christ. And hence, the word investment, God expects a return. He would like to see a return. I was thinking about in the Old Testament as well. In the Old Testament times, he called himself a husband to the nation of Israel. He invested in them. He sent prophet after prophet after prophet to guide them to the right way. He invested in that, and he didn't get a return. So then he sent his own son to die, to buy or purchase a people with this price. And so we can only comprehend from a natural sense what investment God has put in us, in the church, in the people that are Spirit-filled. And he would like, and we can understand that, he would like a return. He would like his investment to be worthwhile. So Luke 13, verse 6. So Luke chapter 13 and verse 6. He spake also this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came and sought fruit thereon and found none. Then said he unto the dresser of his vineyard, Behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and find none. Cut it down. Why cumbereth it the ground? Or why does it waste up the ground? And he answering said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also, till I shall dig about it, and dung it, or fertilize it. And if it bear fruit, well, and if not, then after that thou shalt cut it down. And so here the fig tree represents the nation of Israel, and through history it just wasn't bearing fruit. God was this certain man that planted the vineyard, and he'd walk past the fig tree and there's no fruit. But then comes the dresser of the vineyard and says, no, just wait. I'll dung it. I'll fertilize it. But this also can be an analogy to our own lives. We were far from God. The Bible says we didn't think about God. We were like this fig tree that wasn't bearing any fruit. And then comes the dresser of the vineyard and says, now wait, I'll invest in it. I'll fertilize it. I'll mix fertilizer in with the soil. I'll water it. I'll look after it. So that then this certain man that planted the vineyard will get fruit. Right? So then the dresser is saying to this certain man, well, I'll dung it and fertilize it, put effort in, I'll invest in this tree so that then you'll get a return. It'll bear fruit. And that's us, right? The Lord wants us to bear fruit because he's invested in our lives. And this whole aspect in verse 7 where it says, verse 8, sorry. And he answering said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year till I shall dig it about and dung it. So that there, you can see compassion when you look at it from a human being perspective. Okay? This vineyard is far from God. It's not, is far from God, not bearing fruit that is worthy, that God can use. But then compassion, i.e. Jesus Christ, has compassion on us, laid his life down, fertilized the roots of the tree, that then with time will bear fruit and there'll be a return from that investment. Over to chapter 11, Luke chapter 11. This is a well-read passage, and I wanted to read this because I now want to talk about how we invest. Right? So the Lord's invested in us by sending his son, and I've gone through all that, but now we also invest. And so Hence the term that flows on from the definition of the term investment, we expect a return. So we'll look into the investment. And here, Luke 11, it's such a wonderful passage, and it's often read when we're encouraging people to keep praying for the Holy Spirit, to just keep doing it, encouraging, and that's why it was written for that. So Luke 11, verse 9, and it says, "And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened to you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth. And to him that knocketh it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil," or natural people, "know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him?" And so that passage that I've just read from verse 9 is all about encouraging people to seek for the Holy Spirit and keep praying and not give up. It says elsewhere, not faint. Because you're praying to the Heavenly Father for the Holy Spirit, which is a good thing. It's like asking our Father for a loaf of bread or a fish or an egg. He'll give us that Holy Spirit. And so this, under the banner of investment, we were encouraged to seek for the Holy Spirit, so we invested effort in, and we got a return. We received the Holy Spirit. And then from that point, and I often refer to us looking back to this time of faith, where people encouraged us to pray for the Holy Spirit. And we got it. We received the Holy Spirit. There was a return. But don't give up on that idea. Continue to invest through our whole life, knowing that the Lord has compassion on us and fertilizing our lives in a way so that we can bear fruit. So continue to put that effort in like we did at the start, when we prayed for the Holy Spirit. Colossians chapter 4. Colossians chapter 4 and verse 1. So Colossians chapter 4, and we'll start in verse 1. "Masters, give unto your servants that which is just and equal, knowing that ye also have a master in heaven. Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving, with all praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom toward all them that are without, redeeming the time. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man." So here, I'm talking about this investment that the Lord's asking us to put in to our lives and our relationship with him. Continuing in prayer. We invest in prayer. And if we're investing in prayer, we expect a return. But here there's more as well. It's investing in like walking in wisdom. You know, in that wisdom toward those that know not Christ. And as you know, I love that that concept of wise as serpents and gentle as doves. That's the wisdom that we engage with those that know not Christ. With wisdom there, then we invest in that, redeeming the time, using the time we have. And then how we speak, speaking with grace, seasoned with salt. So then we can be available to speak about the things of the Lord. So there's a type of investment there that the Lord's asked us to do. So keep doing it. Philippians chapter 2. So I'll go through a few scriptures that highlight the investment that the Lord asks us, and then, of course, I'll round off to what return we expect from our investment. God did so much for us. And then he just asks us to invest in these ways. So what was it? Philippians chapter 2 and verse 13. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 13. "For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. And I highlight that on Wednesday. He gives us the will and also helps us to do what we need to do for him. So then it goes on in verse 14, do all things without murmurings and disputings, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. You know, we are within, and then the without is the crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. We stand out because of the way we act and speak. Holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain. Or you could also read that in the context of this talk, that I have not invested in vain. Okay? Neither laboured in vain. Yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. Okay, so there's that behaviour and not fainting, as I said before, because we know that our investment is not in vain. And I was just thinking, Ali and I caught up with someone yesterday afternoon, and he came from England, and he was just saying like basic tenets of being honest, rocking up on time, and doing what you say you're going to do makes such a big difference in the workforce. Okay, and we have the guidance in the scriptures. So if he could stand out amongst the crowd with those basic tenets of working for his boss and opportunities arose from that, how much from this when we follow the guidance in here to encourage us to invest in what the Lord's asked us to do, to stand out, to be a light in a place that we are at the moment. 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1. So 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1. I charge thee, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. Okay, and that's that investment. Endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, whatever form that comes, because we are all part of this body of Christ, whatever form that is, it's like we're sacrificing ourselves at the start of the day for the Lord, a part of that evangelical business, and making full proof of your ministry, and staying away from fables and those sorts of things, and people not having itching ears, you know, all that advice. But we're investing in that of keeping away from those things. And praise the Lord, at the moment, the Revival Fellowship has very good structure to help us and to encourage us, and personal experience over the decades to help us to keep in tune with what can affect us spiritually. And praying in the Spirit helps us also. I was thinking of something when I was reading that, but it's gone, unfortunately. But great advice. Great. This is how we invest as well, is having our mindset firm on the Lord. Matthew chapter 5. And verse 1. No, 12. Sorry, Matthew chapter 5. And verse 12. So Matthew chapter 5, and we'll start in verse 12. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, How about that for an investment? You know, find a way, okay? Use your mindset to find a way to rejoice and be exceeding glad. For great is your reward or your return from your investment in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost his savour, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out, to be trodden under foot of men. And that scripture, for whatever reason, as quoted when Charlie was still living with us, was quoted just about every day. salt is good. Verse 14. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Okay, that's the investment as well. Know that we are a light. We stand out. Not be embarrassed about it. Not be ashamed about it. But understand it's what God's called us to be. Different. To stand out in the crowd. And yeah, I'm sure we've all experienced it when people are saying dirty jokes. You just sit there, stone-faced. You stand out. Or when everyone's swearing, you're not swearing. When people are doing shonky stuff, you're not. You're continuing on persevering and investing in that which is good and rejoicing in the process, because we have a great reward in heaven. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 12. Hebrews 13 and verse 12. Wherefore, Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people or set apart the people as a people of light, with his own blood suffered without the gate. Let us go forth therefore unto him without the gate, camp, without the camp, away from the world in a spiritual sense, bearing his reproach. For here have we no continuing city, but we seek one to come. You know, as we know, we're sojourners. We don't belong here. We're ambassadors. We're in a foreign land. Verse 15, by him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But to do good and to communicate, forget not. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. Okay? So the word sacrifice, well, that's an investment, isn't it? You sacrifice something to when you invest. We understand that in the physical sense. So here, in this passage, in Hebrews 13, it defines the sacrifice. The sacrifice, what we invest in, is praises to God, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks, verse 16. Communicating and doing good, forgetting not to do all that, are sacrifices, investments that God is well pleased. And if that's one good return, it's God's happy. We've got a thumbs up from our Father in heaven. That is something we can then respond with rejoicing and praising the Lord and thanking him for these things. John chapter 15. John chapter 15 and verse 12. So there's a lot of scriptures that I'm going through, but the concept I've kept very simple. You know, that's the kingdom of God is the Lord wants us to keep it simple. So John chapter 15 and verse 12. Says here, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Okay, so that's another investment that we do. We love one another, and that love being a doing word, and not a demanding word, but we love one another as I have loved you, as Jesus has loved us. Verse 13, greater love hath no man than this, the man lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends, if you do whatsoever I command you. Verse 15, henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you, that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, okay? Not go rotten and fall off, but remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. These things I command you, that you love one another. Okay, and so this investment of loving one another as the Lord has asked us to love one another, we then get a return as being Jesus' friends. He calls us his friends. We are, in an aspect, we've been bought with a price, we are his servants, but here it says we're also his friends, where he, as his mate, he will let us know the things that come from his Father. It says here in at the end of verse 15, for all things that I've heard of my Father, I've made known unto you. And with time and prayer and reading and fellowshipping and encouraging each other and asking questions, okay, invest in asking questions, then we can learn more about what our Father in heaven wants to teach us and what we can learn from him. We can spend our whole life doing that as we continue to bear fruit and do things for the Lord and invest in the Lord. Galatians chapter 5. So we are moving into the return of our investment. And here, we brought out a couple of scriptures about fruit. Okay, the Lord wants us to bear fruit for him. But you see, we also get a return when we bear fruit. And this here is so special, this list of things in Galatians 5, and we'll start in verse 22. So Galatians 5 and verse 22 says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. So when we talk about an investment, this here is so valuable to us. We talk about miracles, which the Lord wants us to talk about. It's so important to continue to talk about miracles and praying for miracles because, like I've said many times, and it says it in the Bible, that's how God proves that he's still alive to those that aren't filled with the Spirit. But as people being filled with the Spirit, as we invest in the things of the Lord, we have this this wonderful thing that's split up into these aspects. When we know love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance, that is a pearl of great price. To have those things within us and feeling those things is a phenomenal return to our investment that can carry us on through in this life in the Lord, rejoicing in the Lord, because we have this contentment that passes all understanding. It's a phenomenal thing. And we talk about this a lot at home, is the fruit of the Spirit to understand these things and experience these things within yourself is a result of our investment. We don't get this stuff with no investment. This is the return of that investment, that fruit of the Spirit. And it's phenomenal. It's phenomenal if we have this with us always. Mark chapter 16. So in that way, in a way, and I'm talking about a natural spirit now, but the fruit of the Spirit, the fruit of the Holy Spirit, is that the natural spirit has love, joy, peace, long-suffering and all those things. But here, Mark 16, famous verse, and for a very good reason, starting verse 15, Mark chapter 16 and verse 15, this also is a return, a return of our investment in the Lord. So Mark 16 and verse 15 says, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. What an amazing return that is. But he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Phenomenal return to our investment. Summarised so well in these four verses. Okay, it's worth investing because we get that back as well. And we see that today. So keep investing in prayer, rejoicing in the Lord, doing the Lord's work, being a testimony, and we'll see this stuff continue to happen. Penultimate scripture, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 51. First Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 51. Behold, I show you a mystery, okay? And I love it when the Lord says this sort of stuff because he wants to show us mysteries. And don't we love knowing those? We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this incorruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So then this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality. Then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, or continue to invest, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labour is not in vain in the Lord, or your investment is not in vain. And this here is the ultimate reward or ultimate return to our investment. We'll be raised up at the last trump when the trumpet sounds and death shall be raised incorruptible. That's our ultimate reward of all the investment we do, the days that we're here on earth in this earthly tabernacle and that victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 8 to finish up. Romans 8 and verse 15. Sorry, 14. Yeah, you can't talk Friday night. He was well and truly asleep in Christ, Sydney. Romans 8 and verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. And that word Abba is a Greek word, which is a very familiar word, one like what we use as dad. Our dad. God can be called our dad. Verse 16. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. And so we could reword verse 18 in the context of this talk, for I reckon that the investments of this time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed. You know, the return to our investment here on earth is overlaid multiple times with interest. You know, it's incomparable, the reward we get with the investment that we put in while we're here following the Lord. So keep doing it. It's well worth it. God has invested in us. He wants a return. So therefore, our return is to invest in him, and he will give us an amazing reward back. Praise the Lord. Thank you.